Don't mess with Reverend Jesse Jackson. You've been about everywhere lately.
Well, we have faced a tremendous national disaster and tragedy, maybe unlike one we've ever seen before, and our response has been so poor. We are embarrassed, and many people are victims of it. You know, we've known for some time that our infrastructure in Louisiana, that the levees were not strong enough to withstand even a level 2 hurricane, not to mention level 5. We've known that, and yet we, the last few years, we've cut back on the budget for strengthening our levee. And so when the storm really did come, we were wiped out. And that is some source of great pain. The second issue is that we knew 5 days in advance it was coming, Wednesday through Sunday, and the most able people got out. The least able people could not get out. And I think that more people probably died from dehydration and starvation than from the flood. The planning was just awful. No plan for mass evacuation, and we knew who was left. No plan for mass relief, even to accept mass relief. The mayor of Chicago offered a fireman, for example, that couldn't get in.
Yeah.
No plan for mass relocation. No place. Why not use the unused military bases, for example? No plan for mass family reunification, no reconstruction. So just a collapse, and we must do better.
The subject has also come up of race, somewhat surprisingly, at least to the extent that it has. I'm wondering if, as you see the American response and yet what is also going down, particularly in the South, if you are somewhat encouraged by what you're seeing amongst the relations between the races, or are you more discouraged by what you're seeing?
Well, you know, relations between races are improving, however slow. Race, class, and poverty are issues on dry land, and floods do not wash those issues away. But having said that, when Katrina struck, whoever was in its wake got wiped out. What the American people saw and the world saw for a week, however, was basically black faces in New Orleans. Over and over again, you saw these masses of people on rooftop without water, without food, and dying. And so the question becomes, why did we move so slow? In the case of the tsunami, within 2 days we were dropping bread and water. We didn't do that in New Orleans. In the case of 9/11, President Bush went to the scene 2 days later. President Bush never went to New Orleans. No cabinet member ever went to New Orleans. Red Cross never went to New Orleans. And the question really becomes, why?
Well, I know you're speaking to the wrong guy if you think I'm going to explain the president's thoughts or actions. I do know one difference between the tsunami, because we've talked about it here nonstop for 2 weeks, is that the water receded after the tsunami, and in the case, if you're speaking just about the relief, the water has stayed in New Orleans. You know, quite literally.
That were places you could get. If nothing, I went in.
Yeah, I know. CNN did too. I know. It's amazing.
Yeah, so that's not a good reason. Somebody said, well, that's dangerous. He went to Iraq, and that was dangerous. The fact that we had a huge national disaster, it required some light and stimulation from our president, and it did not happen. Now, when he came in after Friday and came back again on Sunday, things began to happen because the ball spoke, you know, and the National Guard came, and the buses began to roll, and location spots began to open up. We needed that leadership on Tuesday, not on Friday.
Yeah.
So I think timing troubled many people, and for good reason.
And the question is why, and if the answer is because of the color of the people who are awaiting help, then I think that's the most discouraging thing I've heard in a very, very long time. Do you think that the color of the people who were needing help is the reason that there was a delay?
I think there's a general ineptitude, number one. The lack of a plan for a response.
I understand.
I would say that I saw so many white and black people lying together and relieving each other. I was in Baton Rouge yesterday and saw about 60 white doctors, about 30 nurses, all working 19-hour days to help basically black people. One would never want to throw cold water on those efforts of improvement. I do not know why we are tolerant as we are of black pain. Blacks have a high infant mortality rate, and we don't live as long, and so there are these gaps in the best of times that must be addressed. So there is a sensitivity. I would not think, however, that was the motivation for the late start.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
I don't think that.
And you know, and you didn't ask me, but I just want to add this to the mix, that I am encouraged, as we're talking about the relations between blacks and whites in America, how many white Americans and black Americans and Asian Americans have come to the rescue of these other Americans, regardless of their race. It has been an outpouring.
And for so long, the media called them refugees. That was the insult. I mean, refugees, you'd escape from one country to another, avoiding persecution. These are Americans.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in Iraq as a soldier or in Afghanistan, and your parents back home refer to as refugees? That was a grand insult, you know.
Well, there's a great debate about that, too, and I think that there are reasons for smart opinions on both sides.
Not a debate from citizens who are seen as being less than full citizens. It took us so long to get full citizenship, you know, 346 years before we got the right to vote, and so now that word usage did not come off well.
Well, I won't argue with you because you're the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I'm just John Williams.
I think the point is, John, that we all, as we seek to do better, we have to know what these sensitive points are as we seek to build bridges. And I tell you, at the bottom line, when I saw all these white pilots, they call them angels, flying in to take blacks to better places in the census, and I saw these and these white Christians and their Christian best, frankly, reaching out, that was a gratifying feeling. Now, that was some rejection. And I chose not to focus on the rejections because we could not let the darkness cast out the light. I think there was more light than darkness. And now the big issue will be a plan for two things. One, recover, and a plan to prevent this happening again.
You should have spoken out sooner, some people say. I mean, where was Reverend Jesse Jackson before this? Where was Reverend Jesse Jackson when the hurricane first hit before the levees broke? Was there?
I was there on Tuesday.
Some Monday morning quarterbacking that we're all doing now, when maybe the events were larger than the people who are trying to.
You know, I went down there on Tuesday, and we brought maybe six caravans of people out, even when FEMA stopped rolling. We brought the most people out, some of whom were from Chicago, I might add. We went to on the bridge on Wednesday night, 450 students from Xavier College we brought out. School Juana Sanders went to, by the way, Xavier. And the most painful part of it to me was when we got those students, that there were others came up on the bridge by the thousands. They saw the lights. They'd been there 3 days in 98-degree weather without food or water. They thought we were coming to get them. And we were not. We didn't have room to get them. And they formed a human chain around the bus to stop the bus from moving. They didn't want to be left. That hurt so much to leave those people. I promised them that we'd come back, and we did. But it was that kind of drama. And people on these rooftops and without bread and water, and we had the capacity to be better prepared, and we were not.
Reverend Jesse Jackson is here. As unfortunate as so many of the things have been, the natural disaster, the lack of an immediate federal response, the bickering that is taking place between Democrats and Republicans and blacks and whites and whoever and whomever, and it's weighing on a lot of us. And yet, I think what we sometimes forget is how immense and positive the response has been from the American citizenry.
Yesterday, I was at the shelter in Baton Rouge, several thousand people, and a substantial number of them were sick. There may have been 50 doctors, I saw almost all white, about 30 nurses caring for them, and they were embracing and loving each other. That was one of those points of light, you know. At the airport, these pilots, private planes, they call them the angel flights,
right,
were flying, you know, basically blacks out to evacuate them. And so you see these points of light, and when you see these shadows of darkness, you don't want to cast out the light with the darkness, but you have to mix the bitter with the sweet. But I would say that there was far more light than darkness, and it was a good feeling for me to watch it for myself.
Angie's in Elgin and on 720 WGN. Hi, Angie.
Hi.
Hi, go right ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment. With all the criticism of the president, and I know things have not gone as well as they should have, but I did hear the governor of Louisiana say early on that she had talked to the president and he'd ask about coming down to New Orleans, and she had said it wasn't a good time, that he shouldn't come right away. And so with all the criticism, I think he did the best he could do.
Mm-hmm. A comment on that, Reverend?
You know, we knew that our shores were, our first line of defense, by the way, was under attack by this hurricane. It was there for everyone to see on television. And when we're under that kind of attack, the president doesn't need permission to come to our interests and to our rescue.
Angie, thank you for the phone call. This is Mike in Chicago. You're on WGN. Hi, Mike.
Hi, John. I wanted to ask Reverend Jackson, why, when he first went down to Katrina, and this was all over the news, or the Katrina disaster area, the first two comments he made about it was criticizing the president that there weren't enough blacks in FEMA. And then he made a comment about when he went into the inside of the Superdome, and correct me if I'm wrong, Reverend, you said that it looked like the inside of a slave ship. I want to ask, do you still stand by those two comments and why you chose to say things like that?
First of all, FEMA should be more representative of the population, and it was not. In the end, FEMA's insensitivity and incompetence got its leader sacked today. It did not do a good job. And if you are in an area, say, for example, like in New Orleans, you need people who can communicate with the affected people.
And white people can't do that? They have to be black? I mean, isn't the mayor of New Orleans black?
No, they don't have to be. And that is, of course, that is not my point. My point is that if you have a black, white, Hispanic female population, you ought to have black, white, Hispanic female points of contact. It's just diversity has advantages, and one of them is communication. That's the whole idea. The second issue, I was asked, I'm watching 10,000 people on the I-10 causeway who had been there then for 5 days without water. I saw babies dying in mother's arms. I saw old people in wheelchairs keeled over, dying. And I'm looking at Chavez had offered the, Hugo Chavez had offered us two mobile hospital units and 50 tons of food, 20 tons of water, which we rejected. And I saw, when they saw me coming, they started reaching out and trying to get across a fence to touch me. Watch this, John. And you had the soldiers there with the guns saying, don't move. And mothers had been separated from fathers, men from women. It looked like the hull of a slave ship. It was an ugly, disgusting
Do you feel that a comment like that, though, is more incendiary than illuminating, and that, however accurate or true to your feelings, it's the sort of thing we don't need to hear right now?
Well, it's our experience. You know, the first New Orleans trade was slave trade. African, West African, French Africans built the French quarters. That's part of our heritage, our history. And so it's painful to see that you don't want to hear it. I didn't want to see it. I saw babies dying. I saw people 5 days without water or bread.
Well, I'm wondering how calculated a statement like that is, though. Do you think in uttering something that conjures up all of those images, and I wasn't there, you were, so I'm not going to tell you didn't see or feel what you felt, but if the end is let's try and get people and the government to support this issue more quickly, does a comment like that help or hurt the cause?
Well, the government was not doing that. Matter of fact, we were bringing in 10 buses to take people out, and like 10,000 people. It's like dipping out of Lake Michigan with a spoon or something, you know. But 500 buses 2 miles down the road, they wouldn't come in because there was no place to take them. Our government had let our citizens down. And I saw people dying, and it hurt, and I cried. And I didn't feel good about it, and I still don't feel good about it. And I would hope that people would understand that your feelings could not be any more intense than those who are missing
going
and dead.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Mike. Also in Chicago, Richard, you're on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. I was wondering if Reverend Jackson had any comments on the fact that experts have been saying that this was just a matter of time for the last 30 years. And that at least twice, I believe, in the last maybe somewhere between 10 and 15 years, Congress has voted down bills to specifically improve the New Orleans levee system to protect against a higher category of hurricane and natural disaster.
Now, I'm so glad you asked that question, because that's the real deal is that we are now facing global warming increasingly. President Bush said he doesn't believe in global warming. Well, quite the problem, his belief system, it's real. These hurricanes are coming with more velocity, and they're coming more rapidly. And what was built to be a lever to stop, say, a size 2.5 hurricane, we're looking at fours and fives. And the last three congressional sessions, they cut the budget for labor strength in New Orleans. So we paid a big price for not investing in our infrastructure.
Your criticism then is or should be as acute at Congress as it is, say, the president?
But the leadership has to come from the top. I mean, that's
only been there for, six years?
Long time.
The levees have been there longer still.
The fact is, we do not have an urban policy. We are not investing in our infrastructure in roads and bridges and railroads and levees and dams, and we're paying a big price for it.
One last phone call. Richard, thanks for joining us. And it's David in Oak Brook. You're on 720 WGN. Hi, David.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. I guess my big point would be, you know, I'm very worried about this turning into a racial event. I'm a resident of New Orleans, so I'm waiting like the rest of us very nervously to be able to go back in and see what we have left. But, you know, we've seen so many images that are dramatic on TV about a lot of folks being rescued from their rooftops, many of them black. But we've got communities like in St. Bernard Parish and in Slidell that are predominantly white, that have been, you know, St. Bernard was practically wiped off the face of the map.
Erased as well. Reverend, do you have a plan
I think he's right. You know, I'm going back to Mississippi this weekend, and along that coast, white and black alike got hit by Katrina. But of course, the blacks predominantly live in the heart of New Orleans with the most exposure. So I think it was these images on television that made the media begin to raise the questions, how does it make people feel? And I tell you, around the world, these images were not pretty, and they were painful, and they were almost all black. So race and class and poverty are factors, but I thought it was not the central thing. The central theme was incompetence in the face of a pending tragedy.
Reverend Jesse Jackson, we need to hear you on this radio station more often. I appreciate you coming by today. Thanks for visiting with us.
Look forward to it.